What's up, guys? It's your boys, John Lee.
And Jack Coughlin.
And welcome to another edition of Courtside, a Clips Nation podcast. Today, we're going to be going over our previous five-game prediction that the Clippers went on. Pretty disappointing, but we'll talk about it anyway. We're going to talk about the point guard play as of late, the Clippers having interest in Mike Conley, and then we're going to reflect on officially 1 year of Courtside. Jack, it's been a hell of a year. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. I just can't believe it's been a year. It's just flown by so quickly. I guess that's how life goes. But I'm doing great. It's good to see your beautiful face again on the Zoom. And yeah, I'm ready to get into it. How have you been doing?
Oh, Jack, that's so sweet. I've been doing great. Thank you for asking. It has been a very fast year. I forgot we've been doing this for a year. But shout out, everyone. We'll get into it more at the end of the episode. But first, let's start off with how we ended the last episode, with our predictions on the Clippers going over their next five games. So the last time we left off, we previewed their next five games against the Nuggets, then the Timberwolves, then the Hawks and the Mavericks, and then the Nuggets again. Jack, you predicted 3-2, always the optimistic one. I predicted 2-3, the realist slash pessimistic one, and we were both wrong because they went 0-4 in that stretch. We didn't count the Rockets win from yesterday, but nonetheless, we're still wrong. Jack, what really stood out to you about their stretch from that, especially going down 1-4?
Oh, man. Well, it sucked to be without Paul George for numerous of those games, which was definitely a big loss, even though some of them were still winnable. And then, I mean, for especially that first Nuggets loss was really, really annoying to watch. But it's just the energy with some of the losses was really down, it felt like, especially that first Nuggets loss. And then just, you know, not finishing in that Hawks game was really tough. I really feel like it's just the overall team aspect and, you know, the questionable Ty Lue calls that he was making throughout the game and what rotations he had and certain decisions he made. That definitely stuck out. I know a lot of Clipper fans were upset about how he was coaching in that stretch. I would say that definitely stood out to me as well. And then in just the energy and the effort and the losses, you know, that's been a trend sometimes with the team. So that certainly stood out to me as well.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. I feel like a lot of people would agree with you. The energy is always bad every year. I think Zoo had a quote. He said that ever since they got together, it's been slow starts and they need energy, which we'll talk about that later when Ty Lue inserted Terrence Mann to the starting lineup. But I agree. The Nuggets game, they did have PG. Who hurt his hamstring the game before and then played in that and then ended up losing by like 50 or going down by 50. Very questionable decision by them. And then Timberwolves game was no Kawhi, no PG, just like really unfortunate to watch. Atlanta, that's when Terrence Mann started. And I thought I think it's the beginning of a good change. For them, I think he should be the starting point guard for the rest of the season, but that's just me.
I agree.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little later. And then obviously good to get a win against Dallas, even though Luka drops like 40 point triple double, but he's going to do that no matter what we throw at him. And then the Denver loss was pretty disappointing. So I don't know. At least they bounced back yesterday with a win against Houston, but it's a lot of the same things you said. It's coming out like lackadaisical, like no effort. Like they'll run sets, but it doesn't seem like they're running it with purpose. I got a question for you as like a college athlete. If your team started off like that, what's your coach saying to you in the first timeout? Like you go down like 12-4 and he calls immediate timeout. What's going on?
Ooh, I mean, he's definitely trying to get us to wake up a little bit. It's definitely going to be, you know, it can differ. I mean, sometimes it can be some yelling. Sometimes it can be like, all right, listen, let's just, it's all right. We took the punch. Now we got to go back and get him. It's a good amount of motivation though. He's typically when you go down that early, it's not always just because of the game plan is really bad or they're, you know, just the better team. It's often just, you're just, the team is asleep. The team is not really awake. It's the start of the game. You kind of got to get into it. So it's a big motivational, get us going, get you, you know, waking up. That's usually how it goes. But man, if going down 30 and 40, that's
yikes.
I don't really know what that would be like. That's when it's like, all right, enough yelling. If the yelling isn't going to work, you kind of got to go more calm. But yeah, typically down 12-4, You might have to get yelled at real quick to get you to wake up and actually start playing basketball.
Yeah, Tyloo's not really much of a yeller, it seems like, too.
Yeah, so, it was more Doc.
Yeah, so it's kind of like when I understand when coaches yell when you're going down early against a team you should beat. And then, like you said, like, hey, just like we got to execute or something, like a little calmer. That's against like a better team that just like threw the first punch. But I don't know. It continues to happen. This team's just old, slow. There's not a lot of athleticism besides like now, including man. And then I like the starting of Coffee last game as well. I think that's something new, something good. And plus more size with that two spot, like 6'7". So I don't know. I thought that's good. I think they're gonna need man for that energy to pick them up a bit. But speaking of man, let's talk about why he's starting. And it's really because of the point guard play from Reggie and Wall. They just haven't been really the best to start out. During the season, or to begin the season, it was Reggie that was starting. And then when Wall would come in off the bench, we like loved Wall. Like, he would push the pace. He was hitting jumpers slightly better than he usually did. And then now it's kind of like gone a little downhill from there. And then Reggie, I think, is just getting really beat up, just playing through injuries and having to just go through everything with all these guys out. Wall actually did get injured recently. He's going to be out for at least 2 weeks with an abdominal injury that he believes happened on his dunk over Zeke Nnaji that last game, which was a pretty nice dunk, though. Not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. It was all over Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, I thought it was he was in his hoop mixtape days once he threw that down. But it was great.
Him and Kawhi got one on him.
Yeah, Zeke Kawhi Nnaji. Got one on. Poor day for Zeke Nnaji. I mean, they got to win. They got to win, though. Yeah. So I guess that's what matters. But, yeah. And then now with Wall out, Reggie's going to lead the second unit, which paved the way for Terrence Mann to be the starting point guard. So, Jack, what are your thoughts on John Wall and Reggie so far before we get into T-Man?
I mean, John Wall had definitely been playing better before he got injured, so it did suck to see him get injured, especially at this time. He's definitely been slightly inconsistent throughout the year. He'll have some good stretches. He'll have some bad stretches. But overall, I mean, he's still a good addition to the team. He's not going to be perfect. But he did seem like he was coming into form before the injury, so it sucks to see him go out. And Reggie as well, he could be inconsistent too. And make some questionable decisions. So I do really like Terrence Mann being the starting point guard. And I feel like he might not be as good of a catch and shoot 3-point shooter as Reggie Jackson, but I feel like he's more consistent because he's still a solid defender. He's a solid passer. He's going to, he makes a lot of winning plays. He's younger and athletic and he's better at driving in. So he's going to be more efficient driving. And if he's hitting the catch and shoot three at a consistent rate too, I mean, he did well against the Rockets. He was able to shoot the three ball really well. He shot 5 of 8 from three that game. So if he can continue that and then still make his winning plays, play defense, pass really well and play make and do all that, I really like him at the starting point guard position. And I think Reggie leading the second unit could be good. He can be a scorer off the bench for us as well. And similar to the Norman Powell. So yeah, I'm excited to see how this type of rotation and lineup looks the next few games as well, because it's only been a small sample size.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think Wall, there's been a lot of criticism on him, but I think I would lean towards him being your backup point guard over Reggie. That's just my opinion, because I think he can give you a little more of what this team needs, is like someone that's getting downhill and push the pace. There are times where he's kind of like he has like some Bledsoe in him and he just throws it up no matter what, which is pretty bad, or he leaves his feet to pass a lot. And I think as long as he's taking control jumpers and jumpers that are like within himself, then he's fine. But what would you do once Wall's healthy? Are you going with him as your backup or are you going to go with Reggie?
I feel like I would like to see how Reggie plays as the second unit first throughout these next few games to see about that. He has been, inconsistent. He'll have a good shooting night, a bad shooting night. Yeah, I feel like it's going to depend on how Reggie plays as the backup point guard with the second unit for the next few games before deciding that. But do you think there's a chance Reggie is out of the rotation?
I mean, he was out of the rotation a couple games ago, so it was like done by then. And then last game with Wall out, he did lead the second unit. In the first half, he wasn't that good. And then the second half, he had like a little stint in the fourth where he did look good. He had like a nice assist. He had a floater. And then I think he had like a bad turnover. But I think even Ty Lue said, hey, he's used to playing big games and now he's going to like DMPs and not playing a lot. So like Russ is going to come. So I think you're right. We need to see how he does with that second unit. And I just wonder what like DMPing John Wall would do. Like, I feel like it would get in his head. We saw he's liking tweets on Twitter. So for motivation, like, I don't know what, I worry about those two guys just cause they're both very in their head. I feel like a lot. Reggie seemed like really upset, during his DMPs. He wasn't happy. He even threw his goggles last game. So I don't know. I worry about those guys. I wonder how Ty Lue handles that because it's hard because one of them doesn't have to play. One of them is gonna play over the other if things stand. Or we may end up not seeing either of them play once Luke and PG get back. So it'll be interesting to see how Ty Lue handles that. But I think I'm gonna lean towards Wall in that one.
Yeah,
so.
And then especially with the trade deadline coming up, one of them's out of the rotation, I could definitely see us trading one of them to try to get, I mean, it said that they were looking for a backup big too, so
yeah,
I could see that happening in a trade if one of them does get fizzled out of the rotation.
We've been saying they need a trade to consolidate wing depth because we were getting Roko DMPs and now he's actually playing well. So it should have been hit. He should have been playing this whole time, but now maybe they need a point guard consolidation so they can get one and then help get a backup center. So that'll be interesting. But I think for now we just need to see what Reggie will do with that second unit first before assessing anything.
I agree.
Yeah. Apart from that, let's move on to the positive for the point guard play, and that's going to be Terrence Mann. Shout out Courtside alumni Terrence Mann, way to represent for us. He was named the new starting point guard against Atlanta, I believe. And then in those past four games, he has some really great numbers. He's averaging 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists on 54% shooting from the field, 50% from 3 on 4.5 attempts. It's mainly skewed from the Houston game where he had 31 and 5 threes. But still, 50%, 4-game sample size, still really good. 4.5 attempts. I don't think it's going to be that high going forward, more probably like 3, but still pretty good. And he's shooting about 86% from the line and playing 37 and a half minutes per game in that span. Yep. And he played 40 minutes twice. So that shows you how important Ty Lue thinks he is. And he's a +8 in those four games. So
it's the Courtside alumni players, Kim and Kennard. They're doing great. It's not a coincidence. All right. We're trying to tell you people, this is not a coincidence.
We should get the other point guards on here and it'll be
genius.
Great. Yes. Reggie,
it's actually genius.
Reggie and John, free invite. Come whenever your schedule is. I'll pull off work, get fired, but it doesn't matter. I'll
skip practice games. I will literally quit the team if that's what it takes.
Okay, Jack, let's not go there.
Okay, I won't do that. Sorry.
Yeah, but no, shout out to T-Man. He just looks like a different player from prior years. It's cool because every year he gets better. Like his rookie year, he's like put into the point guard spot. He hasn't really played it too much. The year after that, he goes from getting DMPs to like him and Luke in the Atlanta game to getting minutes and then the Utah game that year. And then last year, he makes another steady improvement and does well as a starter again, goes back to being a backup point guard once Bledsoe gets traded. And now this year, he's the starting point guard as of right now. He's looking more confident in his jumpers. He looks more of a shot hunter a little bit more compared to previous years when he catches the ball. There's like this little nuanced thing. It's probably not that big of a deal, but he ran a pick and roll. And the defender went under, and then he just confidently hopped and went into his three. I don't remember if it went in or not, but I think something like that, coming from a guy who used to hesitate from threes, is a huge sign. I think it's great to see, especially that Houston game where he put up 31, which is his regular season career high. But he's been just playing phenomenal, and Ty Lue recognized it with the amount of minutes he played. So, Jack, what has stood out to you about T-Man's play?
I mean, it's been wild that he was getting DNPs earlier this year. It's clear he's a winning player. He's going to help the team win. And yeah, I feel like the confidence has also really stood out to me. I mean, that's like the biggest part of basketball. And of course, I remember all we were talking about last year and the year before was always like his confidence. Like, don't hesitate, just play basketball, just, you know, play your game. And so seeing his confidence being sky high right now is a great sign. And I feel like just as his three-point shooting has been standing out to me, because that's one of the main things why Reggie Jackson was starting, is he was a great catch-and-shoot three-point shooter alongside Kawhi and PG. And if T-Man can do that, plus play defense, plus play make, plus be a winning player for the squad, I feel like it's a great decision to keep him starting and just keep on doing it consistently. It's going to just help the team win more games. So I'm really excited this can stay happening throughout the next stretch of games that the Clippers have.
Yeah, and he's doing all this improved stuff along with still being a great cutter, still rebounding the ball well at his position, and still getting downhill. So all that's gravy to what he currently brings to this team. So hopefully Ty Lue can stick with that. And then hopefully,
you say gravy?
Yeah, it's gravy. Like, good on top of it.
I like that one. Oh, I'm going to steal that one. That's a great one, John.
That's like a normal thing to say, but okay.
I haven't heard that one too much. I'm taking that.
All right. Anyway, so hopefully we could see him alongside PG and the rest of that starting unit. PG actually practiced today. And then I believe Ty Lue said he doesn't know about his status yet the next few games, and they got to see if he has any setbacks or anything. They play Philadelphia tomorrow. We're recording this on the 16th. So it'll be interesting to see. I doubt he plays tomorrow, maybe not against Utah either. So I would expect him maybe this weekend to suit up again. Kennard didn't play, so we still have to see that. And speaking of the past four games where Terrence Mann has been playing well, other two Clippers I want to shout. Norman Powell's been averaging 19 points over the last four games, and he's looked every bit as the player that they'd hoped he would be as that sixth man. And then Kawhi looks almost pretty much back to normal. He's averaging 29, 7, and 4 on 50, 47, and 97 splits. So he's also looking like himself.
Jack, I feel like Norm is going to be massive in the playoffs. I really do. We haven't even seen Clipper playoff Norm yet.
Yeah. I mean, he's so important to the team, because how many other guys can get downhill like that and really attack the rim? Wall does a little bit, or he does a lot. And it's like both those guys in your backcourt off the bench, and then T-Man. So, and Norm being a three-level scorer as well.
And drawing fouls and getting free throws. He gets us so many easy buckets.
Yeah. And then, yeah, taking advantage of the bonus. He's great at that. Especially a guy that's like not an all-star, getting those calls is like still impressive. It's very Lou Will-esque. Because Lou was the master at that, in my opinion. So totally. Shout out to those guys. Hopefully they can get a little streak going, even though it's going to be a little tough stretch. But anyway, so the Clippers play Philly tomorrow night, and then I believe it's Utah the night right after that. And we are seeing some rumblings of the Clippers wanting a certain Utah guard in Mike Conley. They were linked to them in the offseason before they acquired John Wall, but it looks like that since that point guard play is still like not really realized its potential yet, that they may still be interested in him. He's making $22 million a year, and the Clippers have their 2027, 28, and 29 first-round picks available, and some packages that could work for Conley if they were to execute them would be Marcus Morris and Reggie, Morris, Coffee, and Boston, and then Morris, Reggie, Boston for Conley, and then throw in Vanderbilt. And then you would probably have to put in picks, whether it be first or a couple of seconds, because Utah's going to want to build for the future. So, Jack, do any of those trades seem good for you? Do they move the needle for the team if they do make them? What do you think about this situation?
I mean, if Reggie were to get taken out of the rotation, Morris and Reggie wouldn't be that crazy of a trade. I mean, I wonder I feel like that wouldn't be that crazy, especially if Reggie's out of the rotation. Maybe Utah says, all right, we can get, you know, Morris, and then Reggie might still get minutes for them. And they could, I mean, they were doing really good at the start of the year, but now they're not doing as well. Maybe they want to do that. I do feel like they might want picks. So that's the only thing. I'd still kind of be nervous to
they're going
to
want picks.
Give up. Yeah. So I'd be nervous to give up picks, first round picks for Mike Conley. It's kind of like a little, it's pretty risky to me. He's still a great, he's still a very solid player. I won't say it a great player, but still a very solid player. And I mean, he's a known Clipper killer too. So it'd be cool to get a Clipper killer on the Clippers. I don't know if I'd give up Coffee and Boston for him. And getting Vanderbilt would be actually a solid pickup too, if we can get both of them. But you're right. They're definitely going to want picks, and that's kind of what makes me nervous. So I'd be hesitant to give up a pick or two picks for, you know, Mike Conley, $22 million a year. That's, it'd be a little silly to do that. But if we can somehow finesse a trade where we don't give up as many first round picks, or that might be a bit more appealing. What do you think?
They wouldn't accept it, like Morris and Reggie. And the thing is, that helps the Clippers because you do a one-to-one for a point guard that will play. And then if you get rid of Morris, you can open up time for Covington to play. So that would be ideal. I mean, even if you would get rid of Morris, Coffee, and Boston, you're going to now have 4-5 point guards on your roster. And that, if you get rid of Morris, Reggie, and Boston for Conley and Vanderbilt, you kind of get a backup. Vanderbilt's like 6'9", so he's not really a center, but he's another guy with size that could help you. I don't know. I'm in the boat that I don't think they really need to make a trade for Conley. I think they should just make a consolidation trade, either for a power forward or for a backup center. But I do think they need a little bit of something, and they need their stars to come back and be healthy. But do you think they even need a trade for Conley?
I don't really feel like we need to. I feel like a backup big is much more important for the Clippers to trade for. I feel like it's much more important. But, I mean, yeah, Mike Conley would be a great addition. It's just I wouldn't want to give up first-round picks for Mike Conley making $22 million a year. He's aging now. He's still solid, but he's just getting up there, and he's – tend to get injured sometimes too. So it's just, I wouldn't give up a haul for him. I feel like another big is much more essential for the Clippers. If they were going to haul and give up a pick, then that's what I feel like it should be for.
Yeah. My like wish list is like maybe John Collins, Kuzma, or like somehow get Pirtle or some other big. Or
I feel like we have enough wings, though. Like, I feel like Kuzma would be great, but we just have enough wings right now.
That's true. That's a good point. I think they need more youth.
That's a good point.
And some burst to it. And then, like, if you got him, you'd have to get rid of, like, at least one or two of your wings, too. So it's, like, it kind of, like, consolidate that plus get in talent. But it all depends on what other teams want and what they're willing to accept in order to give that guy up, because he's going to get paid major money. And then like a guy like Collins too. So I think maybe just the backup big, and then you just say, hey, we gave you the front office, put this roster together. Now we got you the backup big. We got you the point guards. They aren't playing as well, but you made the right choice to put man there. Now you got to play the right guys and get that combination, because you're still like arguably one of the deepest teams in the league. Once you just play everyone, they play right. So I don't think a trade is 100% necessary, but I think it would help. But it would, I don't think it would be like a major makeshift trade. It would have to be something on margins.
I also don't think they're going to, I mean, the season is definitely not a wash, but it's not like, okay, go all in on this year, 1,000%, because it's been kind of a weird year for the Clippers. So I don't think they're going to do a trade for just this year rental. Like Kuzma's probably going to get a decent sized contract in this offseason. The Clippers aren't going to give it to him. So I feel like they wouldn't go for just a rental for this year. They would want to trade for someone that they can keep for a couple years.
Yeah, that was the good thing about the Norm trade, I thought, because they have him locked up for the next few years. And he was productive last year before he got hurt, and he's been great this year apart from the beginning. So those are like the type of trades. And they got a Roko extended. So that was like a good move by the front office for that one. We'll see what they do. We'll probably have to release another episode once they do have pull off a move, or if they don't pull off a move, we'll still release one.
We know they're pulling off a move. It's the Clippers. We'll see. We're pulling off a move.
Yeah, they did it last year. They did it the year before, and they did it every year in the 2-1-3 era. I think they did. Morris was the first year. The next year was Rondo for Lou Will, sadly, and then they did, and then they did Norman Rocco the year after that. So we'll see how it goes.
Even before the 2-1-3 era, you know, we had that crazy Tobias Harris.
Oh yeah, that's right. And then before that, Blake.
they
got something crazy every year for the past five years. So, yeah, we'll see. But speaking of just reflecting on years, today marks 1 year of courtside. Wow, Jack, has it been a ride?
It has been a ride, fun ride, a magical ride, a ride I wouldn't change a thing about.
Exactly. So we just wanted to reflect on this past year because we can't thank you guys enough for your support. Especially everyone who's gotten us involved with helping us get great guests, helping us get to where we're at today, getting us to talk with you guys. You guys have been great. Shout out to Sabrina Merchant. She was the one that brought us on to even make this possible. And she really gave us the platform to do all of this. And so, Sabrina, thank you. We appreciate that. Probably not even listening to this, but maybe one day you will. Yeah.
We'll telepathically tell you thank you.
Yeah. Jack, did you have any goals when we started the pod? And if you did we accomplish them?
I mean, honestly, a lot of it was just fun because it's just fun talking about the Clippers. And we also started it when, you know, we were just kind of coming out of the COVID era. And there was still, you know, I had a lot of free time, and it's just fun talking about the Clippers and getting to record it and put it online. And I feel like a goal of mine was definitely just to grow more of a following with talking about the Clippers, because I'm very passionate about sports broadcasting and sports media. So that was definitely a goal, and that's for sure happened this past year. And I would say just to keep growing more and more and to get more and more listens from different viewers and maybe even different fan bases, and to keep expanding my knowledge and getting better as well, just at doing this whole podcasting thing and doing this broadcasting thing and just improving on that every single time. It's kind of weird listening to our old episodes. We really have gotten a lot better at this. Like we were still all right at the start, but it's a lot different for sure.
Yeah, I hate listening to our old episodes. I don't even do it just because we sound like so terrible. And then once you listen to like the other Clipper podcasts out there, they just sound like they're just like talking to each other as a conversation. I feel like we've gotten better at that. If that was a goal, I think we accomplished it in getting it better. To me, I don't think we would have. I didn't have any goals coming in, but I think if I did, we probably exceeded them, like just by having some of the guests we have. Like, I just want to shout out some of the major guests we have. We had Clint Parks, who's been great, even on Twitter, like great interaction still. Luke Kennard, we got his media availability during All-Star when he was in the 3-point contest. That was our first big guest. You know, me and Jack were just super nervous about it. What was your day like when you found out that we were going to interview him?
Oh my God. I was at Whole Foods getting a sandwich, and I check into the Slack group chat, and I see Christian hit us up saying, "Hey, do you want Luke Kennard to be on your podcast tomorrow?" And I immediately freaked out. I started calling everyone. I was like, "Okay, Luke Kennard's going to be on our podcast. Oh my God. Oh my God. I got the good questions. I got to do this. What is happening?" And dude, we had only literally done a few episodes. It had been less than a month of doing this podcast. It wasn't
we were not ready.
Rolling. Not at all. And it was only for like 10 minutes, but I started freaking out. I had to prepare. I had to overthink every single question. And I was going crazy.
But yeah, that Luke one, I remember we were like preparing for the questions longer than the actual interview. Like we were like going back and forth, asking people what we should ask. And then like, we're like editing our questions. We're like, okay, we could only do this. And then luckily we got to go through all of them. So, and he was great. He was giving us great detail. Like, and all that. It wasn't just like regular generic, like media trained answers. Like he was giving us a good back and forth. And he was like really cool with us. So
it was good. We had that. It was honestly good that it was like a short 10 minute or less interview
before for our first we did a real too. One.
Exactly. When like the T-Man and Brian ones were like 30, 40, 50 minute long ones.
Yeah, no, that's what I want to say. The Terrence Mann one was probably the crazy to me, the craziest, just because of like how we got it. Shout out Andre, our editor, who's
The
also a guest of
GOAT.
our pod. He literally just got it for us, and then we prepared, and then we got that one. And even that one was crazy. What was it that he thought it was like? He was in Eastern time and we're in the Pacific, so he thought it was one
Yeah.
time, and then we had to like rush to our computers to like actually do it.
Yeah, I remember that because it was going to be at a certain time and then it changed the day of. And so I was like, oh, okay, let me, do these things before that ends. And then we didn't realize he was in a totally different time zone. So I remember I get home and you got the notification that he had just joined the meeting. And weren't you at work or something?
I was working from home and I freaked out.
Yeah, I
And I was like, oh shit, we gotta go now. So
immediately grabbed my computer and microphone and ran to the room I had to do it in, just started sweating already. That was crazy. He was super cool though.
no, he's really cool.
Great
That
interview.
was probably just talking to any NBA players really enlightening and stuff like that. And I got to see him pregame once. I reminded him. Zero chance he remembered it, but it was still cool to see him and talk to him. But that was like one of the best memories like I've had in doing this. And then I think Brian and Ralph, like to me, those are our best episodes because they're just natural storytellers and just so good at their job that everything flowed. Like every answer was great. It was like multiple minute answers. And they're just like they're whether it's reminiscing or telling us about their job, like, and they were just both super nice. Like, and then even when you meet them in person, they're super nice. So those are some of my favorites from them.
Yeah, and I really like the Brian one too, because it was funny, of course, how we waited out the bathroom for him like right when we started the podcast,
That
and then
was
we
the
got to
day we
interview
you and I
him.
met too for the first
Yeah,
time.
the first time. I'd only known you as a little Twitter profile picture and a Zoom online face. And Brian was cool because I feel like broadcasters, they don't really get a chance to be interviewed a lot. Like they're usually the ones doing the interviews and talking about other players and games and basketball. But then he got to really talk about himself. And it was crazy how since second grade he wanted to do this. Like that does not happen often, especially with, sports broadcasting. And he told some awesome stories, like the Ralph story was an all-timer. That one was great. He was super fun to talk to.
Yeah, he was good. Ralph was great as well. Like Ralph felt like I was like in a time machine. Just hearing his voice made me feel like I was going back, like to listening to like the Lob City era. And he was great
Yeah.
with stories as well. And his book was great too. So shout out to them and shout out to the
That
other guests that we had that like Chuck from Hoop Dreams Pod, Joey, Josh from SB Nation, Nicole from SB Nation, Natasha Dye. Like they were all great. There's something else you want to say about Ralph before we close this up?
Oh, it was just like such a cool first full circle moment. Like we just heard him on Lob City days talking to us, and then we get to interview him like years and years later. Like it was just crazy to me. And I never really thought, like, I remember when we started this podcast, I remember you had to convince me a little bit because I was like, eh, like everyone has a podcast, yada yada. But that was the best thing you ever did, is convincing me. And I never thought, like, I thought we would, we'd talk about games and it'd be fun. Then we're over here like interviewing Kennard and T-Man and Brian and Ralph. I did not think that would happen. I mean, it happened quickly too. Like we got to interviewing those people pretty quickly, which was really cool.
We weren't ready
And
either for any of those. Like we're not like at that point. So
we somehow managed though. We find a way. That's what courtside does.
yeah.
And then we had the great moment too. You came over to my house and we watched a game. You did the infamous one chip.
Was it the one shit? Yeah, it was the last dab or
Oh no, it was the
something.
hot sauce. It was the hot sauce.
Yeah.
You put it on a chip. That's what it was. You put the hot sauce on a chip and then started dying and tried to be all cool and try to make your way through it without reacting. But you were dying a little. You were definitely dying.
Yeah, I was, but that's what courtside does. Courtside brings people together. And that's what we did. Whether you're a trainer or a player, a broadcaster, a Twitter fan, a writer, doesn't really matter. Like we had like all these cool people we met because of it, and we're really thankful. So just thank you guys for always listening to us. Even though we're like idiots a lot of the time, we still appreciate it. Just because at least someone's got to listen to us while we talk. But anyway.
Yeah, thank you guys a ton. We're just two Clipper fans wanting to talk hoop, and that's what we try to bring. So thank you guys for listening. If
Yep,
you're
thank you guys.
listening.
As always, Jack, where can these people find you?
The lovely people listening can find me at Jack Clippers on Twitter and Jack.Coughlin on Instagram.
Sweet. You guys can find me at courtside_clips on Twitter and then John_Lee12 on Instagram. And if you have a Visco, just search up courtside-clips. That's where I put some of my other good pictures. If you guys want to see those, you won't. But anyway.
I'm on Be Real too. Jack Coughlin.
No. We're fine. We don't need to be real. Anyway, thank you guys again for listening. Let's make it another year. And as always, go Clips.
Go Clips.